today as we come to the table.
Guys, this is what we're teaching. It's not about us. It's not about my opinion or my viewpoints. I certainly have them. It's God's word that matters. I can't say that none of my opinions or viewpoints sneak in when I'm teaching. They probably do, and sometimes I don't even know it. But the reality is, it's God's word that matters. This is what matters. If somebody says to you, I can't believe you're saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven, your response should be, I'm not saying that. Oh, I thought you were. No, God said it. I didn't say it. If I said it, it would have no weight. But Jesus said it, John 14:6. Search the book and read. See if he said it. You find out. Don't believe me. Go find out.
Preaching the word and sharing the gospel isn't about sharing your opinions or viewpoints. Sharing about Jesus is about sharing about Jesus. Nothing more and surely nothing less. Anytime you get the chance to hear or share about Jesus, you should always fact check with the word of God. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will share that you should even fact-check what he preaches. You shouldn't take any pastor's word for it. You should always check with the Bible and see what truth is and what may be an opinion. There is no mistaking the Bible, so make sure you know the word so you can share the word. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah chapter 32 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
And everything that we do that's not of God is going to be burned up. Everything that, whatever we're doing that's not of the Lord, even if we're making it look like it's of the Lord, whatever, it's going to be burned up. You know, one of the things I tell the staff and one of the things I pray on a regular basis is, look, we're too far down the road here in the ministry and too far down the road, even in age and too close to the Lord coming back. We don't need to be wasting time on projects God's not in. If God doesn't want to build a new sanctuary, I don't want to build it. You follow me? I don't want to build it if God doesn't want to. What is that? A lot of effort, a lot of sweat, a lot of time, a lot of money. I don't want to do that. But when I see what God's doing, I say, all right, Lord, I'm going to step forward. It looks like we need that. And if God wants to do it, he'll bring the money in. God's going to do it. He's always done that. But it's got to be God doing it, right? Or whatever the ministry is. Are we going to get involved in that ministry or this ministry? If it's just something that looks good or is expending energy or whatever the case might be, we need to really be lean. We need to focus in. There are lots of needs out there. And we need to be ready to meet any need God puts in our heart. But you individually and us as a church, we have to say, God, what do you want us to do? There's no way we can give to every mission group in the world. Can't afford that. We can't do that. But there are some mission groups he wants us to give to. So our prayer has to be, God, where does the money go? Where do we put it? How do we spend it? You show us. We've got to follow you. There's no time to waste is the point. And so, again, God's going to, again, you know, rise and you know, take care of all this when he comes back. Burn everything up like the burnings of lime. Here you are afar off, what I have done. And you who are near, acknowledge my might. And notice when he does this, what's going to happen? The sinners in Zion are afraid. That is, as they see the Lord come back, or during that time when they realize he's coming back and they're going to face him, they're going to be afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. People that are openly living in sin and being hypocritical today, they're not really that afraid of God, or they wouldn't be doing that. But when you suddenly realize, oh my goodness, this is real and here he comes, there's going to be real fear. And there's going to be a real, oh my goodness, moment. Sometimes I think about, look at this world today and what we're doing. And I think about if the Lord came back right now, you know, not good. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? That is, when the Lord does come back and that devouring fire comes, who among us here, who's going to be holy? Who's going to dwell with God? Who's going to get into the kingdom unscathed, if you will? He's going to tell us. Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? So God, the everlasting fire of God, the purifying God of fire, when he comes back, who's going to make it through? Now, if you know Jesus, you're going to make it through. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you know the Lord, you're not going to be burned up. You're going to be in the kingdom of God. What he's talking about here is, who's going to make it through with anything left? You know, I used to say when I first got saved, I'd just be glad to get in. I'm just glad to get in. And I am. Don't get me wrong. I'm just glad to get in. I appreciate that. I'm unbelievably appreciative. But the more I walk with the Lord and the more I read his word, God's desire for us is not just to get in, but to get in with joy and reward. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be productive while we're here. And he wants to be able to give us, he doesn't want everybody just to get there and we come in, you know, crawling, you know, on our hands and knees and panting and, you know, we made it, you know, we're kind of hugging each other. We got in, you know. He wants us to go in and not only when the fire hits us, yeah, there's going to be some stuff we did. Mark, that wasn't me. Ah, there it went. Okay. I spent a lot of energy and money on that. There's a, oh my goodness, that one too? Yeah, that one. This one, yes, this one was of me. Oh, and it solidifies. And, oh, there's reward. Oh, this is great. And then it's all done. He goes, now there's your reward for eternity. That's yours. That's what's of me. That's what's left. I want to have something. It's not because of greed or jealousy or envy. There won't be any of that in the kingdom. But if nothing else, just to say, Lord, I tried to serve you. I tried to do something that was of you. I wanted to be, you know, a son that you'd be pleased with. And we need to have that attitude, you know. Don't be afraid to seek out reward. There's nothing wrong in it. If there's fleshly reasons, well, there's fleshly reasons. But if there's not, he's saying, look, who's going to make it through here? He says, here's the one, verse 15. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes. Notice this. It's going to show a picture of not just turning from sin, but aggressively. You know, I don't know. Let me make something up. I'd like to really kind of give you all the money you need to build. You know, you mentioned a new sanctuary. Here's $10 million, building a sanctuary. However, I'd really like a whole different direction for the church. I'd like you to teach some things differently. That's a check I'd never take. Keep your money. Keep your money. God doesn't need money. God needs hearts, and we need to be faithful to God. And so, in the sense, you think about the political realm, how many people take bribes? Say, like, you know, I'd like to make a donation of, you know, $1 million to your campaign. And by the way, there are some things I'd like to see happen in my district. Well, I'll see what I can do about that, you know. He says, no. He says, the kind of person that's going to be in the kingdom with reward, the kind I'm looking at, they're going to be the kind that say, are you kidding me? Get away from me. No way. I have no time for that. I don't operate that way. I'm going to do what the right thing is. I've been sent here by my constituents. I'm going to do what they sent me here to do, not try to get money out of this or gain some whatever, or in the church setting. I'm here to serve the Lord. I'm here to do what God's told me to do, not what you tell me to do or what the world says to do. You can no longer preach that. I'm sorry, we're going to. Not out of rebellion, just to be rebellious, but we're going to obey our commander. We're going to obey our Lord. And again, throughout history, that gets people in trouble, but it is what it is. He says, that's the kind of person that's going to have reward in the kingdom. He gestures with his hands. No, I don't want your money for your purposes. Who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed. You know, yeah, we want to, you know, we're going to do some things to maybe, some people may die when we do this, but it's going to be great for us politically or whatever the case might be. We'll make piles of money or whatever. He says, no, don't even entertain that. Shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him, and his water will be sure. So I'll bless that man or that woman that does that. The eyes will see the king in his beauty, or your eyes rather. So we're going to see the Lord come back in the millennial kingdom. We'll see him in his beauty. You will see the land that is very far off. Your heart will meditate on terror. Where is the scribe? Who is he who weighs? Where is he who counts the towers? You'll not see a fierce people, a people of obscure speech beyond perception, of stammering tongue that you cannot understand. It was they're going to be gone. The terrorists will be gone. Those who do these horrible things, they're not going to be around anymore. You know? Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feasts. Now, again, it was their appointed feast during their day, but there's also going to be, the Bible says, during the 1,000-year reign, appointed feasts for us. In a minute, we're going to talk about the highway of holiness, that we're going to go up there. We're going to be singing and celebrating on, going up to feast every year to feast with the Lord. Is that going to be amazing or what? I just, again, if you go long enough in your mind and imagine that, you're going to see how amazing that is. Just have fun with that one. We'll talk about more of that in just a moment. But he says, we go up, look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet home. Isn't a quiet home a great thing? It means where there's peace, where there's joy, you know, not tension, not strife. If there's any place I want to have peace, I want it to be my house. I know you guys feel the same way. You know, you got enough stress at work. You got enough stress in the world. You need a place you can go to where there's peace. And so that's something as husbands and wives, we need to try to work on for each other. Husbands, to make that a place of peace for our wife. To pray for God to help us to do that. Wives, to pray, help me to make this a place of peace for my husband. And I understand marriages and different tensions and hard times. I get all that. That's a battle that goes on. But in general, a quiet home, a tabernacle that will not be taken down. No one of its stakes will ever be removed. So when God comes back and establishes it, it's done forever. Nor will any of its cords be broken, but there will be a majestic Lord. But there, the majestic Lord will be for us, a place of broad rivers and streams. I love this. The Bible says when he establishes his kingdom, that out of the southern side of the Temple Mount, there's going to be a freshwater stream that's going to just come roaring out of there. And there's going to be this river that comes down through Jerusalem, down between the Mount of Olives, because it's going to split apart due to a great earthquake the Lord's going to bring. It's going to go down, touch the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea will spring to life and be a major fishing port during the thousand-year reign. And then the water's going to go the other way down to the Mediterranean. And remember all the destruction that Revelation talks about, that the oceans of the earth will be going through during the Great Tribulation, turned to blood, destroyed by all these things. It's going to touch the water of the oceans at the Mediterranean and heal the oceans of the entire world. So all the waters will be refreshed and sparkling. It's going to be beautiful. There's going to be this gorgeous sparkling river that's going to be pretty deep running through Jerusalem. You know, it gets up to Ezekiel's neck and he stops and goes, I can't go any farther, you know, in the vision that he has and all this. And notice what it says about it. It'll be there, sparkling from the glory of the Lord, no doubt. Can't even imagine its beauty. But no, it says, in which no galley or oars will sail. So no boats will be in the water. You can't kayak down the rapids there in Jerusalem. Sorry. But you won't want to. It's going to be a place of just joy and peace. You're not going to see giant boats out there and all this stuff. Nor majestic ships will pass by. For the Lord's our judge, the Lord's our lawgiver, and the Lord's our king. He will save us. He's our government now. Won't that be a great day when the Lord's our government? By the way, those of you that are American history buffs, this is where we got our three branches of government. Our founding fathers wrote in the documents that the way they came up with our three branches of government is Isaiah 33:22. That is, the Lord is our judge, the Supreme Court. The Lord is our lawgiver, the Congress and Senate. And the Lord is our king, the President of the United States. So they followed the authority pattern that God gave in Scripture of what his kingdom will be like. And that's probably one of the reasons we've been so successful in world history. He says, your tackle is loosed. You could not strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then the prey, so the ships can't be there, in other words. Then the prey of great plunder is divided. The lame take prey, and the inhabitant will not say, I'm sick. The people who dwell there in it will be forgiven of their iniquity. So nobody will be sick during the millennial kingdom. Again, that's going to be great. No COVID or anything else. Chapter 34, come near you nations to hear and heed you people. And we may not finish 34, but let's get started in it. Come here, you nations, to hear and heed you people. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all things that come forth from it, for the indignation of the Lord is against all nations. Now we're looking at the second coming. Remember we talked about currently millennial kingdom, now he's jumping back to the second coming. For the indignation of the Lord is against all nations. His fury is against all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He's given them over to the slaughter, and their slain shall be thrown out. Their stench shall rise from their corpses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. Again, this is at the very, very end. So we talk about the second coming, but this now again, there may be a dual prophecy. God may do something like this to some degree at the second coming, but then at the very end of the thousand-year kingdom, literally he's going to destroy the whole heavens and all that's around us and build a new one. So I think we see kind of a near millennial second coming and then last, you know, eternal kingdom all wrapped up in one here. He talks about the last kingdom. The heavens will be rolled up like the scroll. Their hosts shall fall down. That is, again, the angels that are being judged and the angels and the stars, I believe, are referenced to as well. As the leaf falls from the vine and as a fruit falling from a fig tree. So all these things collapsing down as God destroys this current universe to build a new one. And again, but an immediate reference here to the second coming. So there's going to be something dramatic like this that happens second coming, meteorites, whatever it's going to be, we don't know. Ultimately, it will all be wiped out. So I think it's both kind of wrapped into this. But he's still in reference to the second coming because at the second coming, remember where he's going to go first before he comes back to Jerusalem and judges there. At the Battle of Armageddon, the very first place the Lord goes is down to Petra. It's down in Edom. We've talked about that. Now he talks about that. Verse 5. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. He's talking about with blood. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom and on the people of my curse for judgment. The sword of the Lord will be filled with blood. Remember, he's going to go there first and judge them. The Bible says he'll get blood on his robes. And that's why when we see him coming back in Revelation and the armies of God coming with him there to Jerusalem, it says he'll have blood on his robes. How in the world could he already have blood on his robes and he hadn't even fought the battle at Jerusalem yet? Because this is the blood of Petra. This is the blood of the Antichrist armies that are trying to destroy the Jews that have fled to Petra those final 3.5 years. It says it's filled with blood. It's made overflowing with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the kidney of with the fat of kidneys and rams. Again, probably not literal lambs and goats and kidneys of rams, although there could be some of that mingled in because of their flocks. But the Jews would have understood the symbolism the Lord was using, because when they sacrificed all the animals on the Temple Mount and there were major sacrifices, there was blood everywhere and kidneys and fat of animals all over the place. He's saying, that's what it's going to be like in Edom. That's what it's going to be like in Petra when I go and do my sacrifice. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah. Bozrah is another name for Petra. And in a great slaughter in the land of Edom. The wild oxen shall come down with them, the young bulls with the mighty bulls. Their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust saturated with fatness. Remember we talked about it says there'll be blood up to the horse's bridle. That's 4 feet deep. Some believe it will literally be 4 feet deep in some places. That may be accurate. But also there was an ancient battle saying in that day that when the horses would ride through all the blood of the battlefield, it would splash up all the way up to their bridles. And so they called it blood up to the horse's bridle. So is it just being splashed up from what's going on, or was it literally 4 feet? We'll find out during that time. Some say, how could that be? In certain valleys, you could have 4 feet of blood. According to historians, when Rome came in and destroyed Jerusalem, the streets are all, those of you that have been there, you've seen, it's all concrete. There was so much blood from all the people they were killing that it was going into people's homes and putting their winter fires out. Think about that. So, I mean, blood, when there's no place for it to go, it can get deep really fast. I know that's gross. And so thank you for that uplifting point there, Mark. That's just bonus points. You can have that. Do with that as you will. I'm going to forget it. That's what I'm going to do. But either way. So he says, for this is the day of the Lord's vengeance, verse 8, the year of recompense. Why? For the cause of Zion. Look how everybody treats Israel today. God says, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of how you treat Israel. I'm sick of how you treat the Jews. I know they're not holy. I know they rejected me. I know they're sinners. I know they don't do everything right. That's not what the argument's about. I made a promise to their father Abraham. And when I make a promise, I keep it. And everybody's now attacking my friend Abraham's kids. I don't like it. And I'm going to deal with it. For the cause of Zion, I will come to judge you. Its streams shall be turned into pitch. Again, down here in Edom, it's dusted to brimstone. That's from the great heat of the battle of the Lord. Its land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall ascend forever. From generation to generation, it shall lie waste. That is during the millennial kingdom. The earth's going to be restored, but there's going to be one area that's still going to be just smoldering. This area down there at Petra. He's going to deal with them so violently in the armies of the Antichrist. It's going to burn. It's going to be their kind of a smoldering pitch throughout the millennial kingdom. The rest of the earth will be revived and refreshed, but this one area. No one will pass through it forever and ever. But the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it, so wild animals. Also the owl and the raven shall dwell in it. He shall stretch out over it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. He shall cut its nobles to the kingdom, or call its nobles rather, to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all its princes shall be nothing. That is, that whole area is wiped out, so there's not even any nobles to call to the kingdom. Thorns shall come up in the palaces. Nettles and brambles in the fortresses, so all abandoned. It should be a habitation of jackals, a courtyard for ostriches. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the jackals. The wild goat shall bleat to its companion. Also the night creature shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There the arrow snake shall make her nest and lay eggs and hatch and gather them under her shadow. There also the hawks will be gathered, every one with their mate. So just showing the destruction that's going to happen there to those that are gathering against the Jews, because the Antichrist is going to put a large army to finally kill all the Jews, just to kind of in God's face kind of thing. You love the Jews so much, I'm going to wipe them out. And God says, I'm coming to protect them, and it's going to be kaboom. And that place can be so kaboomed, it's going to be kaboomed the entire 1,000 years that we're there. So if you want to go to Petra, now's the time to visit. Because you might be able to go to the millennial kingdom. And I did finish. I'm so glad. I know I flew through that last part, but I really wanted to finish this because this is so awesome. Look what he says these last couple of verses. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. Not one shall lack her mate. For my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. Here's what he's saying. If it's in my word, it's going to happen. I don't know that I believe what you're saying, Mark. Who cares? Don't believe Mark. Search the book. Search the book and read. Guys, this is what we're teaching. It's not about us. It's not about my opinion or my viewpoints. I certainly have them. It's God's word that matters. I can't say that none of my opinions or viewpoints sneak in when I'm teaching. They probably do, and sometimes I don't even know it. But the reality is, it's God's word that matters. This is what matters. If somebody says to you, I can't believe you're saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven, your response should be, I'm not saying that. Oh, I thought you were. No, God said it. I didn't say it. And if I said it, it would have no weight. But Jesus said it in John 14:6. Search the book and read. See if he said it. You find out. Don't believe me. Go find out. I can't believe you said that some of the things that are happening culturally in America, they are sinful. I didn't say it. God said it. Search the book and read. God will tell you. You get the point. Search the book. You've got it. We have his book. Search it and read. You'll know what his word says. He has cast a lot for them, and his hands have divided it among them with the measuring line, for they shall possess it forever. From generation to generation, they shall dwell in it. Oh, I wanted to finish 35. Some reason I thought 34 was 35. It's not. You know, every time I come to this point, 34 is still 34, and 35 is 35. It's the oddest thing. Anyway, read ahead. Read the next few chapters so you know where we're going next time. And in chapter 35, the highway of holiness, here's a fun hint. There's literally going to be, when the earth is restored, now imagine, you can't even picture what Jerusalem's going to be like because it's not that way now. There's going to be a giant raising up of the land. His throne there. Everything, trees, glory, this beautiful, shining, sparkling river flowing through there. There's going to be a highway that's going to be working its way up to Jerusalem. And we're all going, when we go up for the feast, we're going to be walking on that highway. It's going to tell us next week. It's called the Highway of Holiness. And we're going to be singing praises to God and just visiting with each other and rejoicing. And as we get to it, we're going to see the glow of the kingdom and the glow of the Lord. And we're going to walk into, we're going to be singing and walking into the praises of the angels and the praises of all that are there. And the Lord there welcoming us and all the tables that are set with all the heavenly food for the feasting that we're going to be doing over the next week for the Feast of Tabernacles and all the rejoicing. That's what you're going to be walking on. Is that awesome or what? I can't wait. I'm like, well, let's do this thing. Now, I know we have to get through some stuff. But guys, don't ever forget what the ultimate end is. If you're discouraged today by what you see going on in America and around the world, I am too. It's disappointing. We need to make a stand and speak truth in love. But at the same time, oh man, does it get good after this. Hang in there. Hang in there. Let your little knuckles turn white. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the promises. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your glorious kingdom, the highway of holiness that we'll be singing on and rejoicing and making our pilgrimages up to the new Jerusalem. What's it going to look like? Not the new one at the end, but the one you're going to bring with you or the one you're going to make when you come back. And just thinking of the forestation that'll be there and the beautiful streams. Maybe there'll be bridges over the river that's coming from Jerusalem. We'll see that beautiful sparkling water with beautiful fish jumping under it. Maybe they're going to sing. Who knows? We can't wait. I just can't wait. Lord, help us to stay focused on being about our Father's business while we're here. But let us not get so discouraged and downtrodden that we lose our vision of hope in the glory that awaits. Fill your precious flock tonight with your spirit and your joy and your hope. And Lord, we receive it by faith. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Come to the Table, a ministry of Pastor Mark Kirk at Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark is continuing a verse-by-verse study of the book of Isaiah. While this book is full of warnings for the wicked kings of Israel and Judah, it also provides hope by describing the coming of a figure known as Emmanuel. This future ruler is said to come from the line of David and will make right all that has gone wrong in the nation of Israel. You and I know this Emmanuel as the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible teaches us that he's coming back soon to establish a new kingdom on this earth where there will be no more suffering, no more tears, and no more death. The pain and conflict of this world will melt away and be replaced by a new and glorious Jerusalem. Now, if you've recently accepted Jesus' gift of salvation, we'd love to get connected with you and help you get started on your journey of following Christ. You can give us a phone call at 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website at thewaymedia.net. Click on Come to the Table and then click on the Questions and Comments tab. On our website, you'll also find a link to the Way Media app, which is where you can listen to live programming on the go, or you can access past broadcasts from Pastor Mark. Well, we're running out of time for today. We hope that this study in the book of Isaiah has blessed you today. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.